How to capture and convey the wonder of science and the natural world, especially at a time when the public teaching of science is again being fought over. The largest museum of natural history in America just expanded its reach, and Jeffrey Brown got an advanced tour. It's part of our arts and culture series, Canvas.
We're looking for places for views, to make connections to people, to things, to collections.
This is a pretty good one.
Yeah, and that one to the park.
A pre-opening walk with architect Jeannie Gang to see the new building she designed as an expansion of the American Museum of Natural History in New York.
It feels like an organic space. People have felt different things about it, like a canyon, a cave, a grotto, you know, bones. People have told me all kinds of different natural things.
You're okay with all those?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere you look, especially in the five-story atrium, soft curves and shapes, with outside light pouring in. Gang and the team at her Chicago-based architectural firm, Studio Gang, were inspired by natural landscapes, but tied to a specific urban setting.
The leap was really, we need to do something that is about connections, flow, curiosity, discovery. And so those were things that led us to creating this porous structure with lots of openings, lots of connections, almost like in a landscape where you would be curious to go explore little crevices and niches and go through openings.
The museum, one of the largest natural history museums in the world with some 5 million visitors a year, has been a place of discovery for a long time now, known for its lifelike dioramas, still fascinating young children, its enormous dinosaurs and blue whale, the Hall of Gems, the planetarium, and much, much, much more. And yes, this is where Ben Stiller spent a memorable night at the museum in the 2006 film.
Same doesn't even look real.
But it's also a major research and education institute, and the new Gilder Center for Science Education and Innovation, a $431 million expansion, offers more space for that as well. A chance for visitors to see more of the vast collection, and the curators and researchers working within it, as here among jars of different fish species. It's the kind of experience Sean Decatur, a biochemist, former head of Kenyon College, and now president of this historic museum, knows firsthand.
I participated in after-school and summer camp programs at the Natural History Museum in Cleveland, where I grew up. My mother signed me up to every possible program. You know, that's a place where I not only had my curiosity piqued, but I also began to meet scientists to learn what the scientific process is like. I think that's something that this museum does very well on many levels.
Now a museum known for going big highlights the small with a live insectarium for encounters with the planet's most diverse group of animals, and a butterfly vivarium to learn about life cycles, short and different species, or to simply flutter about and enjoy.
Where we are right now, we're actually inside a human brain. This is a digitized human brain.
The connectedness of all life is a theme of the immersive Invisible Worlds experience. And the critical task for a museum like this, says Vivian Trakinski, is how to make life come alive. Trakinski's title, Director of Science Visualization.
The key is, what do we know?
Starts with that.
Starts with the science.
Yeah.
And then I think you have to think about the public. What do they know? What are pathways to engage them in the different topics that you're trying to communicate? And so between the science and public interest, you find an area that is so ripe for creativity and different ways to communicate different topics to different audiences.
That makes this a prime place to see an evolution in how we visualize natural history and science, with dioramas and digitization both transporting people to largely inaccessible places in different ways.
And it doesn't make the dioramas any less beautiful or any less relevant. If anything, I feel like it gives them a fresh feeling, an update. Because when you walk into that digital theater and you see those curved walls with the landscapes projected on them, you're reminded of the dioramas. It's a digital diorama. It's an echo of what the museum has been creating for more than 150 years.
Cool stuff for sure.
Not a vaccine.
But Science Today is a hot button cultural and political arena. Think of battles over vaccine mandates and climate change policy. Incoming museum president Sean Decatur approaches this as the educator he's been his entire professional life.
When we see reports out there of mistrust and lack of confidence in science, you know, I believe that the root cause of that is a lack of understanding of the scientific process itself.
You mean of how science works or what scientists do?
Exactly. Science has to be accessible to everyone. Everyone should be able to have the opportunity to develop literacy and fluency in scientific thinking and scientific ideas. If we don't do that, we risk losing a lot of talent who will hopefully help us to solve many of the problems that we're facing down the road, but we'll also have real challenges in terms of policymaking and decision making broadly.
The larger disputes over science and the natural world also gave architect Jeannie Gang a different sense of urgency with this project.
It elevated the crisis, if you will, and it made me think that besides just presenting the facts, we have to feel the wonder, let's say, of nature, because it's also an emotional thing. That's why I think art and science can work well together, because we need facts, but we also need to see the beauty of it.
That includes the architect herself, who couldn't help cast her eyes around the new library she designed for the Gilder Center.
I noticed you looked that way.
Yeah.
And you liked it, right?
I did, yes.
Why?
I was noticing like how the light is working on the outside surface, but how the portal allows you to see beyond.
And it's working for you.
Yes,
you're
it
happy.
Is. Yes, I am. I'm wanting to go over there and explore it right now.
That, of course, is what everyone involved here hopes future visitors will feel as well. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown at the American Museum of Natural History in New York.